Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, folks. Beginning at verse 8 of Genesis chapter 6. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace was not his wife, folks. Noah found favor with the Lord. Why did he find favor with the Lord? Because he was living for the Lord. You can find favor with the Lord living for the Lord. Amen? Amen? These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. He was not sinless. He was perfect in the faith. He had a perfect faith, a trust in God. You can have that. I can have that. Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Jacob. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Sounds like today, doesn't it? And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. God's noticing, folks, what's going on. Look at verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God saw how wicked man had become his creation. That which was his delight to make in his own image, folks. Listen to me. Man is made in the very image of God. Man is above all creation of God. And God saw man had become so corrupt, so evil and wicked, that God says, I'm going to destroy man with the earth. We're going to talk about the world of Noah a little bit today. Loving God, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the favor of God upon those that call on your name. Thank you for the grace of God that saves any sinner that's willing to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make your word clear to us today and understandable, Lord. Give us hearts that are attentive today to your word. And we'll thank and praise you for all that's accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. God made a beautiful world, and he placed Adam and Eve in it. But we know that they disobeyed the Lord, and sin entered in. It brought a curse to the world. God told Adam and Eve to fill the world with people, and so they and their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and aunts and uncles and cousins, etc., began to accumulate, and the population grew and grew and grew in those first 1,600 or so years. After Adam and Eve had been placed in the garden. But what's so sad is most of Adam's descendants forgot God. And became evil and wicked and violent and sinful sinners. Like the prophet Jeremiah later said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's what happened to the human family after Adam and Eve sinned. Their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, and on down, the further they got away from the creation, the more they got away from God. And the earth became filled with violence, corruption. And God saw it. And God had to do something about it. Without God in one's life, they will drift further and further and further away from the Lord. And if you and I as believers don't stay with this book, you will also drift. And you can reach the state you'll wonder, well, was I really ever saved? So wicked and corrupt man was so sinful that God regretted. Listen to what I'm saying. God regretted he ever made man. Now that's pitiful, isn't it? You know, I don't regret my two children that I had. Do you regret your children?
Yes, sir.
But God regretted he made man. God saw there was only one man and his family that after 1,600 plus years was still serving him. Out of all of humanity that had come about. But looking down at verse 14 of Genesis chapter 6, I want you to follow me in the word today. Beginning at verse 14, God said to Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood. That's something like what we know as cypress. And room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. God told Noah how to make the ark so it would float, and it would be sufficient for him and the animals to live in safely. Now, this was not going to be an overnight stay, brothers and sisters. He said, this is the fashion that thou shalt make it of. God's going to tell them how to make it now. Now, they don't have no skill saws. They don't have any kind of modern equipment at all. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. I'll explain this in just a moment. A window shall thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shall thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, and with lower, second, and third story shall thou make it. It's going to be a three-storied ark. Three stores. And they probably lived on the upper deck away from the animals. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth. Who's going to bring the flood?
God.
Who's bringing that down yonder in Texas? God's sovereignly in control. He's allowing it. To destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. God saw man had become so wicked. Man had left God out of his life. Man had lived and was living the way they wanted to live. Does it sound like today, church? I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to go to school and learn what I want to do. And I'm guilty. As a Christian, I forgot to ask God a lot of things in my life. Maybe you didn't, but I did. These people did. This means that the ark would have been at least 450 feet long. That's a pretty good little distance. 75 feet wide. Now, this building here is about 36, I believe it is. Maybe 30, I forget. So think about 75 foot wide. And 45 feet high. So we're not talking about a little construction here. We're talking about a big project that would take 120 years for him to do it. Without modern tools, folks. And I don't know whether any of the world's people ever pitched in to help or not, or whether it was just Noah and his three sons. The Bible don't tell us. But what God tells you to do, you can do it. That's the good news. No matter what God calls you to do, you can do it if we trust Him. If we trust Him. The length to the width ratio of 6 to 1 provided excellent stability on the high seas. The boat or the ark was not built to be steered. It did not have any kind of motor to make it go. It was just a big wooden ark for them to safely stay in. God would take care of where it would go at. In fact, modern shipbuilders say it would have been almost impossible to have turned that ark over the way it was built. It would have been since God put it there. Amen. The total available floor space on the ark would have been over 100,000 square feet. That's a lot of floor space. Which would be more floor space than in 20 standard-sized basketball courts. And it would be equal to the capacity of 569 modern railroad stock cars. 569 railroad stock cars where they haul cattle or sheep. 569 of them. That would be the space. The man that wrote the book, The Genesis Flood, who was a creationist and whose work I like to read, he stated that no more than 35,000 individual animals even needed to go on the ark, but it probably could have held 50,000 animals. Now think about that. They've did a lot of measuring, computing, and this is the figures they're coming up with of the people and animals that could have been on that ark to preserve life. It would include extinct animals, then add on some more to satisfy even the most skeptical. Let's assume, they wrote, that 50,000 animals, far more animals than required, could have been on that ark. Now, I've read behind some other folks beside these, and we come up with basically about the same figures. Assuming the average animal to be about the size of sheep, and using a railroad car for comparison, we note that the average double-deck stock car can accommodate 240 sheep. Thus, three trains hauling 69 cars each would have ample space to carry the 50,000 animals, filling only 37% of the ark. Just 37% of the ark would be filled with 50,000. Now, I was looking at my neighbor's house the other day at television. He was sitting there looking at, and these people were showing us all kind of animals, like sea lions, seals, and all kind of birds and all of that. And they're some of the weirdest creatures and fishes in the ocean. Of course, anything in the ocean wouldn't have been affected. But there's what I'm getting at, there's so many kind of creatures in this world that we don't even know about ourselves here, probably. And a lot has been that's no more. This would leave an additional 361 cars, or enough to make five trains of 72 cars each to carry all of the food and baggage plus Noah's family of eight people. Remember now, only eight humans are going to be on the ark. God has said, I'm going to destroy everybody else. I have read from Adam and Eve that after 1,556 years, there were estimates of at least up to, listen to this figure, this is astonishing. When you think about how the people before the flood had more children than people do today. In fact, after the flood, there was one man had 88 children himself. Well, his wife did. But before the flood, no doubt, they were large families of people. And so they've calculated there could have been a possible 10 trillion people on the earth before the flood. Remember, people were living to be over 900 years of age. So it's, according to these people that has done all this figuring and computing, there could have possibly been 10 trillion. But even if there wasn't 10 trillion, there no doubt was millions upon millions of people living before the flood. And they were living in violence, and in corruption, and in rebellion before God, their Creator. And God only saw Noah was really living for Him and serving Him. Now, there's many questions that are unanswered by God in all of this, but the Lord has told us enough for us to know that God told Noah to build this ark, and then God Himself had the animals to come and get on the ark. Isn't that amazing? And remember, a gnat or a mosquito could have just been on the back of a goat or a sheep. Think about the little things that could have just been in a crack somewhere. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2, 4, and 5, you ought to look this up, by the way, 2 Peter 2, 4, and 5. For if God spared not the angels that sin, God cast them out with Lucifer when they sinned. But cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, that is what we're talking about today, but save Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. 2 Peter 2:4-5. God brought a flood upon the world. The world with no doubt millions of people that had no time for God. Why was the earth destroyed with a flood? Go back to Genesis chapter 6 and let's look at verses 5 and 6. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. They never thought anything but what was evil. No thoughts about God. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved. You might want to underline that word in your Bible. God is grieved at his heart because of man's condition. And because of who God is a holy God. God cannot allow wickedness and evil to go unpunished. He has to deal with it because of who he is. That's the reason he threw the angels out when they sinned. The Bible goes on and says, in verses And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. That's some of the saddest scripture that's in the Bible, folks. That God is grieved. He regrets making man because what man has turned out to be. Do you think there's a lot of wickedness today, church? Murder, robbing, rebelling, godless lust, hate, anger, bitterness, just to name some of the evil like it was in the days of Noah. And God sees it just like he did in the days of Noah. Do you think God's going to judge today like he did one day with Noah? Of course he will. Not with the same kind of judgment. But we'll get to that. In Matthew 24, maybe you want to turn there because it's important. Matthew 24, Jesus is speaking here now, folks. And you know, I believe whether it's Jesus or Isaiah or Jeremiah or Paul or whoever, is still the word of God. Amen? But Jesus here is saying in chapter 24 of Matthew, verse 27, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Up until Noah walked into the ark, these people were living just like they always lived. No thought about God. no thought about their lives and what was going to happen to them in just a moment. What are people doing today, church? They're eating, drinking, marrying. Well, a lot of today's live-ins, ain't it? You don't hear, hardly ever you hear about anybody getting married now. We've just ignored God. God's not ignoring it, by the way, church. The Bible says they're eating and drinking, marrying, working, and going about life just as in the days of Noah. Do you ever notice the people of today have no time for God? We come out here to church. We have to come all the way through Lumberton. We pass by about 20-something restaurants or eating joints by the time we leave our house till we get past Lumberton. And you know every one of them's full of people eating. At prayer meeting time. Why don't we stop and eat, Brother Chavis, and not come to prayer meeting? It's the one we don't starve, isn't it? We hadn't got time to go to church. God's not important enough. Why? Well, God understands. He sure does, folks. And I'm sure down in Texas today, them peoples live just like we live here in Lumberton. Most of them didn't have time to go to church on prayer meeting night. And too many of them outnumbered the Christians. And I believe that's why we had Matthew last October. Now you can believe what you want to. The Bible says about the heart of God that the heart of God was grieved because of the sin of man. The creature he made, the creature that he made in his image, folks. The creature that God put over all of his creation was grieving in God's heart. The Lord was grieved that he had made man, put him on the earth. And his heart, the NIV says, was filled with pain. Let me ask all of us this morning, have you ever hurt so bad your heart just was full of pain? Pain? Aching? Aching? Have you ever ached so bad, it hurt so bad, you spit up pure brine or something? Well, you ain't hurt yet then. The heart of God was grieved because the ones he loved so much was going about their life with no thought about him. And worse than that, rebelling, corrupt, vulgar. And he regretted he'd made them. Think about it for a moment. Has your heart ever really been broke? Do you know what it means to be rejected by someone that you love? Have you ever had a child walk away and never come back? And never call? That's what happened to God. It happens to people. Think how much God loves man, and man has no interest in God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in, trusteth in, would have everlasting life. That is, live forever. That's how much God loves his Son. God gave him. But in that giving, you got to go down to Calvary to see it. You got to go and see his suffering, his agony, his humility, his willingness to give all, because he too loved man. The free will of man. Listen to me carefully this morning. The free will. God's give you a certain amount of free will that you can decide what you're going to do. And the free will of men has been man's downfall. You're not a robot. God's not going to force anybody. God has said, don't you eat from that tree, Adam. And Adam did not have to eat from that tree. He chose to eat from that tree. You did not have to be in church today. No one drug you out here. You made a decision. Now, you might regret it now that you're here, but you're here. An act of your will. And you can make a decision whether you're going to serve God or not. You can make a decision whether you're going to hear this message or not. Because God has given you a certain amount of free will, it could be your downfall if you're not careful. It will be if you don't stay in this book. The Bible tells us there's two roads in this life. Jesus himself said there's a broad road and there's a narrow road in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. And Jesus said that most people were on the broad road that's going to destruction. And I think about that when I think about Texas today. I'm not a know-it-all, but I'll bet you most people in Texas are unsaved. In the days of these people before the flood, they did not have any scriptures or Bible. The knowledge of God was passed down from one generation to the next generation. That's why in Genesis, God told the fathers to teach their children. To when they come, rise up throughout the day, they're to be taught the Word of God. Today we're blessed with Bibles, aren't we?
Yes, sir.
You don't have anything in your possession, and you will never have anything in your possession more valuable than that book right there.
Amen.
It's the only book that'll keep your soul out of hell.
Amen.
Think how much it grieved the heart of God when he sent his Son to die upon the cross for the sins of the world. Hosea wrote in Hosea chapter 14 and verse 7 and 8 concerning how God felt about Israel. And my people, God says, are bent to backsliding from me. Though they call them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboam? My heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. God was grieving over Israel years later because Israel had gone away from the Lord. Church, you can go away from the Lord. You can drift away. You can get out of fellowship. You can lose the joy of the Lord. You can lose peace in your heart, in your life. How sad to grieve the heart of God. People apparently do not think about our Creator, how He feels when He sees us ignoring and disobeying Him. But it grieves Him. We saw in the Gospels where Jesus was tired. He was hungry. He was troubled. He wept. God has the same emotions as each of us have. He can grieve. He can have pain because of our actions, church. Our actions. People's actions that He loves so much. Because the Bible says He's not willing that any perish. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 right quick. 1 Peter chapter 3. Because this is an important passage of Scripture that I want you to see for yourself. In 1 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins." He only has to die one time for sins, and it forever settled the sin problem. "The just," Christ is the just one, "for the unjust." Christ died for us, the sinners, "that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh." He died on the cross, "but quickened by the Spirit, He was made alive on the third day." But listen to this. This is where I want you to see, church. Watch this. "By which also He went and preached unto the spirits in the prison, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few," that is, eight souls, "were saved by water." 1 Peter 3, 18 through 20. When Noah was preaching, he was a preacher of righteousness. When he was preaching, that same Spirit was being preached to those people, but they rejected it. And it condemned them. When people hear the gospel, when they hear the Word of God, when they hear of the grace of God, it does one or two things. It saves them or condemns them. It's just like the Word is a sword. It cuts both ways. It's two-edged. And God is not against anybody. God is for everybody. That's the reason He's trying to get everybody saved. Because He knows the consequences. Now you think it's bad down in Texas now, but you think about when they fall into hell, how much worse. Think about all these millions probably before Noah that died in this flood. They were all lost people. Guess where they went? They went to hell. And it's that too grieves the heart of God. Folks, God is love. God loves everybody. Our Sunday school lesson today about people, different people, different beliefs. But God loves everybody. God's for everybody. But God hates sin with anybody. Christ come to reconcile us back to God. Through the preaching of Noah, the Spirit of Christ was being preached so those people could have been saved if they had listened to the message of Noah in the days of their disobedience. They could have been saved. You know what? They'll remember that in hell too. So after over 1,600 years of violence and corruption, God destroys all life on the earth for Noah and his family. Now, here's something we hadn't mentioned. Listen to me carefully. We've been talking about all the wicked people is going to be destroyed, but what about the innocent animals? What about the animals that did no wrong? They got destroyed too. They're still digging up dinosaurs. And up in the tundra in Canada, Siberia, and up in them places up there, they're still. I've read where they have, in that ice, found bison frozen with grass still in their mouth. And steaks have been cut off of them. You know where that come from? The flood. Because when that water come down, there was a sudden freeze and they were froze. There was a sudden climate change where that canopy of water come down. And the foundations of the earth broke up with water. And you think about the highest mountain, 15 cubits over the top of the highest mountain of water. Soon it looks like many in this world are going to be destroyed by the plagues of the tribulation. As God rids the world of violence and hate and racism and the haters of God and the Bible and Jesus. The Bible's predicting it. It's telling us it's going to happen. And we're seeing evidence of the nearness of this happening. On one hand, I'm excited. I'm going to soon be in heaven, brother. I'm going to soon be in heaven. If it's not by that, sure enough, by cause of November 1937, I'm going to soon be there. Amen? Amen? God hates sin and He loves righteousness. That's why Noah was spared, so God could carry on the human family. As the world was destroyed by a flood in Noah's day, God says the world is now being reserved to be destroyed by fire one day. Now, flood sounds bad, don't it? But what about being burned up? Let's turn to 2 Peter as we close today. 2 Peter. In chapter 3 of 2 Peter. And at verse 8. But beloved, Peter wrote, be not ignorant of this one thing. Hey, be sure you understand this, he says. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. Time don't mean anything to God, folks. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. People go on in their sin a long time, but God is patient, waiting for them to see they need to be saved. Ain't God gracious, folks? Ain't God good, folks? You see, God is for people. He's given them time. But that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Can you imagine such a noise of the heavens passing away? The sun, the moon, the stars, the planets. With a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, listen to this, Peter says, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Seeing that the heavens are suddenly could melt, how do you think you ought to be living? Amen? We ought to be living with an eye on heaven. Amen? It troubled me the other day, Monday, when the eclipse occurred. It troubled me greatly. Everybody was looking up, buying glasses, getting in every position they could. I kept flipping three television channels. Not one anywhere anyone mentioned God. And they were looking up at God's Son, but they should have been looking at God's S-O-N, Son. To me, it's almost a nothing, although I watched it, because it only lasted a couple of minutes. Yet, large sums of money were spent by some. Traveled many miles just to say I was there when the eclipse happened. Big deal. Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when he arose from the dead? Were you there? Folks, get your priorities in order. Get your priorities in order. There's a God in heaven. He's looking down. Don't grieve him. Instead, enjoy him, love him, serve him, obey him. You won't regret it now nor ever. Amen. I can't say no more. Do you know the Lord today? If not, today's the day of salvation, the Bible says. To be saved, one must recognize they are lost and say, Lord Jesus, I'm that sinner you did die for. And I'm asking you to forgive me and save me. I'm trusting you today to be my Savior, Jesus. If you say that and mean that, you'll be saved forever. And just get up and start serving him. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do it today as we sing our invitation. Do it today. Maybe you've drifted away from the Lord. Hey, today's the day to repent. Say, Lord, forgive me. Help me to be that person like Noah was, perfect.